Detectives.
I'm Esther.
And I'm Annika.
We love investigating cool facts about cool stuff.
And we do this by speaking to the experts.
Smart grown-ups who know all the cool facts about everything.
In today's episode, we're talking about something that everyone has.
But you can't see it.
Unless you have x-ray vision.
Are you talking about a skeleton?
Yes. Hi, Hazel.
Hi there, fact detectives.
Hazel works with skeletons and fossils at Melbourne Museum.
I do. I love exploring how animals are put together and how they've evolved. And skeletons help us understand this. They're amazing.
Lucky because Samuel, one of our fact detective fans, has sent in a few questions about skeletons.
Fact one.
My name is Samuel. I'm 5 years old and I live in Melbourne. And I want to know what skeletons are for.
Good question, Samuel. A skeleton has 4 main functions. It supports your body, allows movement, protects delicate organs, and even makes your blood.
What do you mean by supports your body?
Well, a skeleton is made up of a collection of bones. In adult humans, that's about 206 bones. And these give our body structure and shape. Our skeleton supports our muscles and joints and helps us move our bodies around. Imagine trying to walk without bones.
That would be weird and really hard.
Yes, humans would be a big, blobby mess. As well as movement, bones help protect important and vulnerable parts of our bodies.
Like our brain.
Exactly. Our brain is protected by the hard bones of our skull. Our spinal cord is a vital part of the central nervous system and carries messages back and forth from the brain to the nerves that run throughout the body. The spinal cord is protected by the individual bones, called vertebrae, that run from our skulls in a line all the way down our back, forming our spine. Our spine allows us to stand upright and supports about half of our body's weight.
Cool!
Our rib cage is literally a cage of bones that encases and helps to protect the important organs in our chest. Do you know what they are?
Our heart.
And lungs.
That's right. As well as protection, our bones are also active organs that help to create blood. They produce millions of blood cells every single minute.
Wow!
Samuel from Melbourne has another question, and this one is about bones.
Fact 2.
My name is Samuel and I'm 5 years old and my question is, what are bones made of?
That's a good one, Samuel. Bones are made of protein, collagen and minerals, especially calcium. Calcium makes our bones hard and strong, while the collagen makes our bones a bit flexible so that they don't break easily. Bones are made up of 3 main parts. The outside is really tough and hard, and it's called compact or cortical bone. Inside is what's called cancellous or spongy bone. Can you think of what a sponge looks like?
It's soft and, well, spongy with lots of little holes in it.
That's right. In bones, the spongy part isn't soft, but it's lighter than the compact bone. It does have lots of holes, called pores, and they are filled with marrow, nerves, and blood vessels that carry blood cells and nutrients in and out of the bone. Spongy bone is usually located at the ends of the long bones, where our joints are, like in the long bones of our arms near the shoulder and the elbow, and in the long bones of our legs near the knee and hip.
What's inside that?
Inside the spongy bone is bone marrow, and this is where all of your red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets are made. This is the important stuff that keeps you alive.
What do you mean?
Well, bone marrow makes red blood cells that carry oxygen, white blood cells that fight infection, and platelets that control bleeding if you cut yourself.
Wow, bone marrow does so much.
It does. We often think of our bones as dry, dead things, but bones are living organs that continue to grow and change across your whole life. We start out as small babies with small bones. And as we grow, our bones grow too. Babies are born with almost 300 bones.
Hang on a minute. I thought you said adults have 206 bones. How does that work?
Ah, you were paying attention, Annika. So when we're babies, many of our bones start out as cartilage.
Like sharks?
Yes, just like sharks. Cartilage is found in places like your ears and nose. You can feel the difference between bone and cartilage by squeezing the bridge of your nose and then squeezing the tip.
Oh, yeah!
The cartilage isn't hard and stiff like the bone is.
Exactly.
But what happens to the 300 bones? How do they get down to 206?
Some of them fuse together. This is where multiple bits of rubbery cartilage bone get filled in and replaced with minerals merging together to form one hard bone. This process is called ossification. For example, when we're born, the left and right sides of our pelvis are made of three bones each. As we grow taller and heavier, these separate bones eventually fuse together into a single left and right pelvic bone. Sometimes this fusion isn't finished until we are well into our teens. So you probably have more hip bones than your parents.
Wow! Fact three.
What happens when bones break?
When you break a bone, we call that a fracture. There are different types of fractures, and some are more severe than others. Fractures most commonly occur in the wrist, ankle, and hip in older people.
My dad broke his collarbone falling off his bike.
My dad also broke his collarbone falling off the bike.
Yeah, that can happen. Often we break a bone if we fall off things like skateboards, ladders, and bikes. Or if we're playing sport and we fall, the first thing we do is put our hands out. Why do you think that is?
To protect our face and head?
Yeah, that's right. And if we're running and skating, then we're probably moving quite fast. And when we stop suddenly, all that force hits our hands or wrists, and that's where fractures can happen. A doctor will do an examination and ask for an x-ray to check whether a bone is broken and where the break is. Then, sometimes they'll put on a splint or a cast to stop the bones from moving and to give the broken bone time to heal in the right position.
And what happens inside the bone?
Well, first off, the body sends out signals calling for help where the fracture or break is. Some of these special cells cause the injured area to become red and swollen and painful. This is called inflammation. But this is good because it tells the body to stop using the injured part so that it can heal. Blood clots form on the broken ends of bone to start off the healing process. Within a week, a soft type of bone called a soft callus replaces the blood clot. The callus holds the bone together, but it can break easily, so it's not strong enough yet to be used. Over the next few weeks, the soft callus becomes harder, and generally in about 6 weeks, the hard callus is strong enough for the body part to be used. But it is still important to be careful, even if the doctor removes the cast or the splint. If you saw an x-ray of the healing bone, it still wouldn't look right. It would look a bit uneven. Over the next few months, the bone is reshaped so that it goes back to looking how it did before the injury.
Amazing!
It really is amazing. Did you know that our bones are even changed by the activities we do?
What do you mean?
Well, people who lift heavy things all day for their work often develop denser, stronger bones. Your skeleton will adapt and change over your lifetime according to what you do. So, if you go to the gym and do a lot of weightlifting, your bones will slowly get denser. Or, if you do a particular sport, it can cause your skeleton to change over your life.
How?
Have you seen the movie Brave?
Yes!
You know how Merida is an archer and uses a bow and arrow? Well, you have to be pretty strong to be able to use a bow correctly. A few hundred years ago, lots of people used bows and arrows, and archaeologists looking at their skeletons found that the arm and shoulder bones of archers are much tougher and bulkier than people who didn't use bows and arrows. So, we can tell a bit about what these people did when they were alive just by looking at their skeletons.
Cool!
Now that we've explored bones, let's get back to skeletons.
Okay! Fact four!
What kinds of skeletons are there?
The kind of skeleton humans have is called an endoskeleton. And this means the skeleton is inside the body. Lots of animals evolved to have hard endoskeletons, like dogs, frogs, fish, birds, and dinosaurs. Some endoskeletons are rubbery instead of hard, like the cartilage skeletons of sharks we mentioned earlier. Other animals have hard skeletons outside the body. This is called an exoskeleton, which you see in creatures like bugs and crabs.
You can find out more cool crab facts in our episode with Joe Taylor.
Yeah, great. Exoskeletons are really cool. But unlike our endoskeletons, they can't grow and change across the animal's life. Instead, when critters like crabs need to grow bigger, they have to shed their whole skeleton, climb out of it, and grow a new larger one from scratch on the outside of their body.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it does. But here's a curly question. What do you think humans, cats, crocodiles, seagulls, geckos, and bats all have in common?
Wait, what?
We all evolved from the same fleshy-finned fish.
Seriously?
Yep. Well, all backboned animals with four legs share the same initial skeleton template that we see in our earliest fishy ancestors who first crawled out onto the land. We call this group of animals tetrapods. Tetra, meaning four, and pods, meaning feet. So, 4 feet. Over the last 300 million years, this same four-footed template has evolved into lots of different arrangements to suit different lifestyles. For example, some animals have skeletons that are good for climbing trees, which is great if you need to find food or escape predators. Others have long legs that help them run fast, or strong arms that help them dig underground. Birds and bats even adapted their front legs into wings that allowed them to fly. Some tetrapods even return to the sea, evolving flippers like seals, or losing their legs altogether like whales. Although all these animals look different on the outside, they all have the same set of bones in their skeleton, which tells us they have come from a common ancestor. Did you know that you have the same number of neck bones as a giraffe and a dolphin?
No way!
Yes way. Giraffes just have bigger neck bones, while dolphin neck bones are all flat and compressed. In fact, pretty much all mammals have 7 neck bones, which they inherited from their earliest mammal ancestor. Except, weirdly, for sloths and manatees, which are kind of like dugongs. But scientists don't really know why these particular species break the rules.
Fact 5.
Are skeletons the same as fossils?
Not quite. Fossils can be other traces of extinct life preserved as rock, like footprints or even poo. But many fossils are skeletons, and often these fossilized skeletons are all we have left of extinct animals. Skeletons more easily become fossils because they already contain lots of rock-like, hard minerals, unlike soft skin and muscles that rot away when an animal dies. By comparing fossil bones with the skeletons of living animals, we can start to understand what sorts of things extinct animals were doing with their bodies. At Melbourne Museum, where I work, we have some fascinating skeletons like Triceratops.
I've seen it, and we did an episode about Triceratops with Eric Fitzgerald.
Ah, nice. We're very lucky to have a complete dinosaur skeleton. Often, only small parts of a skeleton are preserved as fossils. I'd say dinosaurs definitely have some of the most awesome skeletons. But other extinct animals have some very cool skeletons too.
Like what?
Some of my favourites are glyptodonts, and these were giant fossil armadillos about the size of a couch. These are extinct mammals from the Americas who evolved thick plates of bone inside their skin to form a big, dome-like shell on the outside of their body. When threatened, a glyptodont could tuck its head and feet under its shell to protect itself from predators. Its wiry fur grew out between the bony plates, so these mammals would have looked a bit like a gigantic, fuzzy turtle. Fossil snakes are also super cool. Snakes today are basically a head, a backbone, and lots of ribs. But there are some fossilised snakes that preserve tiny little legs, which tell us that snakes are actually tetrapods too, and they just lost their legs somewhere in their evolutionary history.
Wow! Try this at home!
To see some cool skeletons, borrow a book from your local library, or ask a grown-up to help you look some up on the internet. Then, get out a piece of paper and some pencils or texters and have a go at drawing a skeleton yourself. Now, let's see what you learned in this episode. Are you ready, fact detectives?
Yes!
And for all you fact detectives listening at home, see if you know the answers too. Okay, first question. What is a skeleton for? What did you come up with? Annika and Esther, do you remember?
A skeleton helps us move.
And helps us stand up.
It makes blood.
And protects our organs.
Well done, fact detectives. All right, next question. How many bones are we born with? Can you guess?
About 300.
Correct. And last question. How many bones are in the neck of a giraffe? Do you know the answer?
I know.
Me too.
7.
That's right. Great work.
Thanks, Hazel.
No worries, fact detectives.
This has been another super fun episode of The Fact Detectives with me, Annika.
And me, Esther.
Big thanks to Dr. Hazel Richards,
who is a paleontologist
at Melbourne Museum. And big thanks to Samuel,
who asked us to investigate skeletons and bones.
If you love finding out the facts as much as we do,
and if you have a big topic you would like us to investigate,
then get in touch at factdetectives@kindling.com.au.
This episode of The Fact Detectives is a Kindling co-production with Melbourne Museum. To find out more about the world around you, head to museumsvictoria.com.au.